Welcome, everyone. I am so glad you're here, and I am so excited to share all of this information with you. I am Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. I am your host for Infinite Love, and this course was previously called From Tainted to True Love, and it has been updated, upgraded, and certainly energized with a lot of love and some additional information. So I do feel like it's going to be beneficial for all of us, not just you, but for me as well. I always learn something new from these workshops. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your light. And if you haven't muted yourself, please do so with the star six. And when it comes time to questions, you can unmute with star six. Thank you. Infinite love is all about loving ourselves enough so that we're not expecting our partner to fill us up or complete us. If you've ever felt like you were a table with one leg short and you needed that one other person to just complete you, I know I used to be there. I had to have a guy in my life to feel whole and complete. And coming from that perspective, our relationships can be very challenging and usually don't work very well. Infinite love is all about unconditional love for ourselves and then for our partner, rather than attempting to fix or change them. So the more accepting that we are of ourselves, the more accepting we will be of our partners too. So whether we're single, partnered, married, all of us can step up our game and let go of the need to control, manipulate, and become more vulnerable in our relationships. Vulnerability is the key for deep intimacy. Vulnerability is the new sexy. And yes, we are going there. We're going to uncover all the blocks that are keeping you from experiencing infinite love right now or in your next relationship. And while we're single, we're still in a relationship with ourselves, and we are the most important person in a loving relationship. As I said before, the most important part of a healthy, balanced, and happy relationship is self-love. And when we don't love ourselves completely, we end up in tainted relationships. Tainted relationships are those that leave us feeling depleted. And often we give away everything to have love. Just think back. We give our time, energy, money. We might give up our friends, workouts, maybe even jobs, pets, maybe even family members or children for our partners. When we give too much, we often feel as if we've lost ourselves along the way. How many relationships have you given away too much? Or have you stayed too long with someone that didn't treat you well or didn't deserve your love? Or maybe you were with someone that really loved you, but you couldn't see it and feel it. I know that used to be me, because when I didn't feel love of myself, I didn't love myself, I couldn't feel the love of someone else. I had all these doubts and misgivings and felt like I was unworthy. I didn't feel like I was enough. Why would he even love me? Well, you might not have believed it when he told you he loved you. Are all men rats? Are all the good ones taken? Of course not. So why is it that so often our relationships end up disappointing us? Why is love so difficult? Why do we have such a difficult time with our romantic relationships? We all want the same things, or do we? We all want to be loved. Everyone deserves love. You deserve love. Men deserve to be loved just as we do. When you think of love, what does it mean to you? What do you want? Do you even know? A woman's insecurity can kill a beautiful relationship. Men and women are wired differently. If you ask a woman what is love to her, her answer will be very different than what a man would reply. Well, let's look for a moment at what women want. Most women want devotion and obsession. We're wired very differently. Men look at their relationship as a part of their life rather than everything in their life, while women often look for a relationship as the basis for their lives, a total package, someone to fulfill all their needs. I recently worked with a client. She's been a long-term client and married for 25 years. And she just said to me, "My husband doesn't fulfill all my needs." And I said, "That's just as it should be. Can you imagine if we got all our needs met from one person only?" Well, expecting one person to make you happy, be your best friend, your lover, your supporter, your biggest cheerleader, and Mr. Fix-It is just too much to expect from one person. Men look at love very differently than women do. If you notice, over 60% of divorces are filed by women. Why do you think that is? Women are the ones that are more dissatisfied. Is that maybe because we were raised with fairy tales and Disney movies as the basis of our love? That we were taught that if we got married, we'd be happily ever after and all our problems would go away? Women are the ones doing the leaving for the most part. Men will stay with a woman if most of their needs are being met. I've counseled many men and they stay even when there is no sex. And I know that sounds hard to believe, knowing how men can be. But I know many men in sexless marriages where they have stayed for over 20 years and one for over 40 with the same woman, and he only had sex for the first 2 years. Very sad. And what I will say about that, because this is important for all of us to realize, that sex is a part of a healthy relationship. And if we're not having sex, we're rejecting our man on many levels. And a man's self-esteem comes a lot from their sexuality and their ability to satisfy their partner. And this one person, you know, that I've known him now for, I guess, three and a half years, he just had a pacemaker put in because he's got a broken heart. You know, can you imagine being in a marriage for 40 years and rejected all that time? Now, a lot of us would not have stayed all that time, but he was committed to her. So have you wondered if your partner loved you? Do you ask him all the time, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" When we're on the receiving end of endless questions about whether we love our partners, it sounds needy. It feels yucky. And men don't like it when we're insecure any more than we don't like it when our men are insecure. So this is what men have told me about their relationships. "It kills me when I tell her I love her and she doesn't believe me. I'm afraid of doing things for her because I'm worried it will blow up in my face. It seems whatever I do, it isn't the right thing, the right way, or at the right time." Our men don't know how to please us when we expect perfection from them. So now let's look at men. What is it that men want? Now, men are a little bit more simple than us women. Men want respect and appreciation above all. Not appreciating our guys for who they are makes them feel unloved. And not giving men respect also makes them feel unloved. Men want something very different than women do. They aren't women. And unfortunately, and I've done this too, most of us treat men as if they're incomplete women. And I know you could probably have a howl of laughter there with that one, but we do. We want our men to act like us. We want men to express themselves as we do. When men have a problem, they go quiet. They don't talk about it. They don't poke at us. They go into their corner of the world. They may turn on the TV or the computer, and they pull away from us. They go inward when they're upset. Women, we're the opposite. We want to talk and talk and talk. We may even want to argue, and we might nag. Nagging is one of the fastest ways to lose a guy. Men withdraw when we nag. And I know we think that they need to be reminded because they're not doing what we ask them to do. But nagging reminds them of their mother. And men don't need a mother. They want a lover. Well, knowing that our differences are so vast, let's think back to what happened in the past. You can mentally review your current relationship as well as let's take a look at the last three relationships. Or maybe, can you remember your first dates of your current relationship? I know you do. I do. I can recall first dates back 30 years and longer. I don't like to admit that, but yes, I can. So what were the red flags that you saw on those first dates that you ignored? We're going to look at those red flags one by one. Okay, and we've got quite a few of these, so hang on to your hats here. So number one, relationships take two to work. And if he expects you to do all the work, plan the dates, plan holidays, you're going to be the one that has to make all the reservations, take the initiative, plan the dates, plan the arrangements. And if you're not married yet and plan to have children, this could be a red flag of complacency, a lack of organization, or maybe emotional investment in your relationship. Number two, your man isn't emotionally invested. How can you tell? Well, he's not interested in talking problems or challenges out. If you ask him questions, he either says he doesn't know or tables the questions totally. He might say, he doesn't feel like having a serious conversation right now. It's not an appropriate time. And you might notice that after a while, there's never an appropriate time. Asking questions about the big picture, what he sees as a long-term plan, are natural questions to ask, especially as we're becoming more mature. In the heat of an argument, one person might say, let's end this right now. And if that's your go-to, that's an indication of either emotional immaturity, a lack of emotional investment in the relationship. So trust your gut. You want a guy that fights for you and the relationship. That person would be the keeper, someone who fights for you. Number three, he can't apologize. Someone who can't apologize won't be able to admit wrongdoing. They may even feel self-righteous. My father was just one of those men. My mother married 49 years when my father died. They were married 49 years. And in 45 years, he never admitted he was wrong, never apologized to my mother. And after we all left home, quite a long time after, I think my mother got fed up. She wrote him a soul-bearing letter. She had taken his anger and rage and ill temperament for way too long, and she sat down, wrote down to my father exactly how she felt. She mentioned that he dragged her out to the countryside, away from city life, away from her friends in Toronto. She'd cooked, she'd cleaned, she'd raised four children, taken care of the entire household on a tight shoestring budget. And she told him in the letter she could leave him if he was going to continue to be this way. Well, surprisingly enough, this letter changed my father. He started doing dishes. He started helping out. And he started helping her cook. After all those years of her taking it on the chin, she had to really get tough with him and get angry and vulnerable. But sometimes we don't express those things to our partners, so they don't know how we feel. So he did finally apologize and admit where he'd screwed up. Heartfelt apologies involve setting our egos aside. It's not a matter of who's right or wrong. It's more about having your feelings validated. Now, we recognize a fake apology, and that doesn't count. What we're looking for is recognizing that your feelings were hurt, and if someone tells you you shouldn't be upset or invalidates your feelings, that's a big red flag. If they can't see your side of the issue, they'll probably be caught up being right, and that's all ego. Number four, he's too private, keeps his past from you. He might text all day long about what he's doing in each moment, but do you really know them? Getting to know someone takes time, and a flood of text messages doesn't mean you know them. Are your conversations superficial? Does he share his life story with you? Or are you constantly finding deflection occurs when you ask a question? Or maybe he says, oh, I want to hear about you. You don't want to hear me talk about me. Well, to make a relationship work, you need to know what went wrong in his past relationship so that you can strengthen the current one. Growing together needs to be important to you both. Number five, you feel isolated. Well, in this relationship, if it's you and him against the world, like Romeo and Juliet, no friends or family are ever around, and it's just the two of you exclusively, he doesn't want to have double dates, doesn't want to meet your friends. Well, a high level of exclusivity can mean that they are wanting to hide abusive behavior, or maybe they're unbalanced. Controlling men who want you all to themselves can isolate you from family and friends. And at first, this could feel kind of alluring and even seductive. But being isolated from friends and family can be so that no one sees the abuse when it happens. And that was something that I experienced. And if you have questions about that later, we can go into it in greater detail. Number six, he failed communication 101. Communication is the core of a healthy relationship. When things get challenging, you want someone who can navigate their personal feelings without making threats, having rages, or giving you ultimatums. Number seven, he talks down to you. If a man talks down to you as if he is the teacher and you're the student, that will get old. He may assert he's right, you're wrong. He may be like a steamroller over you. His ideas are correct, and he's always telling you why yours won't work. Or maybe he puts you down in other ways. Now, that leads me to number eight. He puts you down, even in jest. I dated a man for 3 years that used to make fun at my expense constantly. And that ended up being a ruse for abuse. Sarcasm is a way to hide abuse. And sarcasm has no place in a loving relationship. So what am I talking about? Well, maybe he made fun of the dinner that you created and your feelings were hurt. And he goes, oh, you know, I was just kidding. And he tries to laugh it off like it was a joke. Well, hurting you at his expense is not kind and it's not loving. So that type of thing isn't good. And it's a sign that he has low self-esteem. And it could end up being more than just biting criticism. Number nine, the rules change all the time. And just to give you an example, maybe he says he doesn't want children. And next thing you know, he says his parents want him to have kids. Then the next time he's talking about children, he says he doesn't see the point in marriage. The target is constantly moving. A relationship with this guy will be a waste of time. You will feel unbalanced and unsure, which leads to insecurity. Number 10, he loves your hair, and then he sees a photo of someone else or maybe you with a different hairstyle and says, you should wear your hair like this. It would look so much better on you. So offering suggestions for you to be safer in the kitchen is one thing. Telling you to change yourself is another. If someone's looking to change you, they'll never be happy with you because they aren't happy with themselves, and vice versa. If you feel this way about your partner and want to fix them, you are focusing your attention on them instead of you. Number 11, he never lets his hair down. You go to a concert and you want to stand up and dance and rock, and he just sits there like a bump on a log. This is a good sign. He's way too stiff and concerned about what others think of him. It's also a good sign. He won't allow himself to be vulnerable. Could also be a sign he has a fear of intimacy. There's a lot of fears in this one. So number 12, early in the relationship, your heart's all a flutter and you're glowing. But what if you're not glowing at the beginning? The first 2 years of a relationship are when it's at the best. If you aren't glowing, better ask yourself why. 13, he doesn't value giving back. He doesn't want to exchange babysitting with others. He's not interested in community service. He's not interested in giving back in any way to the earth, God, or anyone else. It's a sign of someone's character. If they don't value giving back, it's a sign that when you have children, you'll be doing all the caretaking yourself. And if you're giving to him and finding he isn't giving back to you, and that could be sexually, there's a problem. Does he borrow money from you? Are you buying him pot, cigarettes, or dinner all the time? And that one is something that my daughter recently experienced, where she was taking care of him and could barely afford to take care of herself. Okay, I know there's a lot of red flags, but some of these are going to really open your eyes. Okay, number 14, if you've never been invited to their place, that's a big red flag. What are they hiding? Are they married? You want to see how they live, and it gives you insight into the inner workings of their mind and how they live. Number 15, all he wants to do is watch Netflix and cuddle. Lethargy at the beginning of a relationship is not a good sign. You may never be able to get him to go out and do anything, not even to go out with friends or see a movie. 16, texting while you're on a date with him. Taking a phone call while on a date, unless it's an emergency, is a big no-no. Texting while you're together is also rather rude. 17, do they post things about you on social media, or are you like blank space? And I can tell you about this one. I met a guy. I went to visit him in Sedona. We didn't sleep together, but we went out in Sedona and we saw all kinds of people that he knew. He never once introduced me to another person while we were out, nor did he take my picture and post it on social media. So that's a big red flag. Number 18. Refusal to acknowledge who you are in public, which is what I just mentioned. You meet up with his friends and you're just standing there feeling like the fifth wheel. Run away fast. 19, does he call you his girlfriend? Someone who avoids labels might have issues with commitment. You might find that a lack of commitment means he's seeing someone else or multiple somebody's. 20, telling you that you're fat and you're going to get dumped if you get fatter. Well, that's just mean. Are their friends nice people? Friends are a reflection of who they are, and brushing this off is a mistake. That was number 21. 22, they are extremely close with family. Well, a close family is one thing, but claiming that their family are their best friends is a red flag. Notice the type of interaction they have with family. Is it loving, supporting? Or is the relationship filled with insults and abuse? Just be watchful. 23. Dating always revolves around drinking, or maybe drugs, to have a good time. And there are ways to find out about that. Now, I dated a man where every time we went out, there was always a drink. And I don't drink at all anymore. So, you know, that would be a really big red flag for me. But if you're having a drink with them, and then you find after 3-4 drinks, you know, that, or 3 or 4 dates, that every single date involves alcohol, that is a big red flag. And I have a little story about a friend of mine who she was dating someone, just starting to get to know them, and he came over and cooked her breakfast, and he brought champagne. And she said, no, thank you. And even after she said no, he tried to force her to have some. She still said no, and he drank 3/4 of the bottle of champagne at breakfast. Big red flag. 24, he smokes. And especially if on his profile he says he doesn't smoke and he smells like smoke, smells like an ashtray, that's a big red flag. And it's a sign that there are addictions and maybe other addictions as well. Could also be a sign of alcoholism in the family. 25, dark, brooding, and moody. Well, there's a lot we could say about that, but I'll leave it. 26, rude, maybe even to the waitress or the checkout person. 27, bad table manners. 28, you didn't really want to be there with them, but you went anyway. Well, if you don't want to be with somebody, don't go out with them. 29, he flirts with other women in front of you. Big red flag. 30, he says he's damaged. If someone says they're damaged, believe them. Certainly don't try to fix them. 31, he tells you he's not ready for a relationship. This is, I've seen people do this. My daughter did it. The guy she was dating told her he wasn't ready for a relationship, but she pursued him anyway and was heartbroken. 32, talks negatively about his exes and maybe even obsesses about the one that screwed him over, and you hear about it constantly. That's a big red flag. If somebody isn't over the past pain, they're going to bring it into their current relationship, and they may be very resentful just in general. It's also a sign that they're not doing their inner work, not forgiving. 33, doesn't remember things you tell him. You tell him when your birthday is, and he doesn't remember. You tell him that you like daffodils, and he only buys you irises. Or, like one of my clients in Denver, the ones I was telling you about, he always bought her red roses, and it was the second Valentine's Day when I told him, you know, your wife prefers pink. Of course, the flip side of this is, at least he bought her roses. So maybe she was a perfectionist. So, but that's something to be aware of. Does he remember what you tell him? 34, he's miserable. Someone that's never happy, always complaining, constantly looks to the dark side of everything, will not be happy with you. You cannot make someone else happy. That's their job. 35, he's a Satanist. And I know this will make you laugh, but this is a true story. And you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter, you know? It's not that important, right? Wrong. 36, he's emotionally immature. There's lots of different ways to find that out. You know, if he acts like a little boy, he may never grow up. 37, he's jealous. Jealousy is a sign of low self-esteem. And I recently worked with a couple, and I asked if jealousy was an issue, and the gentleman said he was healthily jealous. And I told him that jealousy was not something that was healthy. It's unhealthy. And it's his culture. But he's like insanely jealous. So that is, and they're definitely having some serious issues. So if culture has encouraged that type of jealousy, and Latinos can be extremely jealous and very controlling, those are big red flags. 38, he shows signs he's controlling. 39, he shows signs of being obsessive compulsive. Okay, so you may ask, well, how can you find that out on a date? Well, he may sit at the table straightening the fork and the napkin and the salt and pepper and making sure everything is lined up, or, you know, those are things that you can observe. Number 40, he tells you he's never been in a long-term relationship. Well, from my personal perspective, I avoid men that have never been married, because that to me is a red flag. 41, he has children with 3, 4, or 5 women. 42, you do all the talking. Well, women generally talk more than men, but if he acts like a deaf mute and can't express himself well, you're going to find down the road that, you know, that doesn't change. 43, he doesn't look like his profile photo. 44, he doesn't tell you his last name or where he lives. And I dated a guy that wouldn't tell me his last name. Only once. 45, he doesn't answer the questions you ask. He's vague, withholding information about his life. Well, what's he hiding? 46, we're almost through this. He withholds important information from you about his life. 47, you have a sense he's an angry person. He gets angry about small things. He flies off the handle when things don't go his way. Or he just can't control his anger and often rages. And, you know, if that is the case, somebody that has that type of anger will blame you for the anger. And you can be an innocent bystander, but you'll be blamed. Number 48, you have a sense he's depressed. Depression at the beginning of a relationship is a dangerous sign. It's not a good way to start a relationship. 49, doesn't have a job, doesn't have prospects, doesn't have a thought of a job. He doesn't have his life together. Both of those go together. 51, you're going to laugh. This is the same guy in Sedona. He doesn't share. So the same guy from Sedona, you're gonna laugh, because he asked me if I could host him here when he was on his way to Hawaii, and, you know, I owed him a place to stay, I thought. So I said sure, he could sleep, you know, on my couch. So while he was here, rather than hang around my house, I said, well, let's go to Santa Barbara. And so he gets into the car, and he's got a bag of chocolate-covered almonds that he is eating, and he's got them on the side up against the door, and he's putting his hand in the bag and just eating. And then almost at the time that we're almost all the way, it's almost a 3-hour drive to Santa Barbara, he offers me 2 almonds. So I ate the 2 almonds. I said, thank you. Would you mind if I had just 1 more? He goes, oh, they're all gone. But this is the second thing. I'm hosting him at my house, feeding him, giving him a place to stay, but he can't share his food other than to give me 2 almonds. So there were several things that happened with this one particular guy. He's the same one, wouldn't introduce me to his friends. Obviously, this guy is not a viable prospect for a relationship. Okay. So that's the end of the red flags. You can all breathe now. Well, we've all ignored them in the past. We've ignored these red flags. Well, what red flags did you ignore? And I'm going to give you some time to just take a few moments and write down the red flags that you've seen, maybe even in the current relationship you're in. What have you ignored in the past and didn't pay attention to? How many did you count from the 51 that I named? Just breathe. Okay, so I am going to give you all an opportunity to comment here on this portion. Does anybody have anything that they noticed or were aware of, or did something blow you away that you didn't expect out of this list? Does anybody have anything they'd like to share?
Hi, Jennifer. This is Stephanie. One of the things that I noticed that came into a lot of these points that you made is with my ex-husband, not my current relationship, but that he kind of took over with his own goals, and he had this vision of his future where he didn't include me in that. It was just, I'm along for the ride.
How did that make you feel?
Well, in the past, I was such a conformer, and I was so, like, just wanted that love that I was like, yeah, I could do that, and I gave in to that. But I was never etched into that vision that he had.
How long – that's a really great share. Thank you. How long did your relationship last?
I stayed in that relationship for 14 and a half years. We were married, and it was probably about 9.5 years too long.
Did you have children?
I had 2 children from a previous marriage.
Okay. And the other thing I want to ask is, so what goals for your life did you suppress?
All the things that I'm, like, working towards now, I put everything on hold and I lived his life. So, therefore, I could never find the happiness with that because I was not a part of it.
Wow.
I was never part of the vision, so I was living his life. And that makes
wow.
you feel like completely left out. Like you're, it all, I always felt like I was on the outside of our life together.
Wow. That's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that because that's, wow.
But that's easy, and I know me being such a giving person, it's easy for me to do in the beginning of the relationship because I'm so easygoing. I'm like, sure, I can do that, and sure, you know, I can learn to love what you love. And but I needed to realize, you know, after I broke up, I realized, well, it's important for me to do the things I want to do and have support in that as well.
Right, right. Well, I think that a lot of us give, you know, we give up a lot of things for other people, you know, just to have love.
Yeah, and that's what I did. But, I mean, I grew up watching my mother do the same thing for my father. It was his life that she just went along with because she had kids with him. And that was normal to me.
Right. Well, okay, so that's a really good point. Thank you for sharing that. Because we're going to talk about that later on. About
okay.
how we model our relationships after our parents, initially anyway. Thank you,
yes.
Stephanie. That's awesome. Anybody else?
Jennifer, I have to laugh because
okay.
I've met people in the past who, they didn't just have red flags after listening to this. They were a red flag. It was like... But I do have to disagree with, Chuck was 42 when he and I married, and he had never been married. So I have to disagree with that as being a red flag personally.
Well, did you have challenges? You know, and that's a good point. You know, the world's foremost authority on everything. So I will say that for the most part, somebody who's never been married could have some serious issues. Did he have any major problems that caused you difficulties in your marriage as a result?
No real major problems. He had to learn to be married in the beginning. But that was kind of easily gotten over. with that. But I guess I don't want anybody to discount a potential partner just because maybe they've never been married. You know, look at that as a potential red flag and then look for those others.
Okay. That's a really good point, Star. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great share. Anybody else?
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
This is tricky. I totally understand and can relate to what Stephanie said, and then also what I was going to ask you is, can I get a list of all of those red flags? Because I want to see how many of them are things I do.
Oh, well, you know, that's a really great point. That's a great point. Sure. I can definitely send you all the 51 red flags.
That would help me a lot because,
okay.
It's really easy for me to look at other people and go, oh, yeah, he totally did that. But, I have to look at what I've been attracting into my life. So, yeah.
That's a good point. That's a really good point because here's the thing. And when we do the manifestation process, you're going to find that you attract what you are.
Yeah, which I really don't like because I've been pulling in a lot of narcissistic men. Actually, narcissistic relationships on multiple levels of my life. You're afraid? Mommy's on the phone. Are you okay? Well,
I'm afraid.
Oh, anyway, come here.
Well, that's a great point, and yes, I will get you the list.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Okay,
Mommy will be off the phone in just a second.
Okay.
The other thing I was...
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, newspaper. Okay, go watch Sesame Street.
No, don't.
Anyway, the other thing I was going to say is I would amend the statement about not being married being a red flag and just being like if somebody's in a specific age range and they haven't had a serious relationship, like... I would see that as the red flag because I'm going to be 40 and I've had men say, oh yeah, my longest relationship was 4 months. And I'm like, no.
Right. That's a sign they cannot go the distance. There's something wrong.
Yeah. Something
good
going
one.
On, so.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. So we're going to move on. So why do we do it? Why do you think you ignored the red flags? Did you expect that they would change? That's sometimes something that we do. Yet as we do one thing is how we do everything. And what Maya Angelou said is when he shows you who he is, believe it. Don't expect him to be different. And for those of you that didn't want Trump to be president, you know, there's a lot of people who voted for Trump and said, well, I expected he'd be different once he got into office. Well, he is who he is. He's the same person as he was before. He's just now president. So, you know, we can't expect the patterns to go away. We were raised to be nice and polite. And for us to say, well, this doesn't work for me and walk away, there's an element of, that's not very nice. And I know for me, that was one of the things that I didn't feel comfortable with. I didn't feel confident enough to walk away and say, this isn't working for me. So how often do we fall in love and marry their potential, expecting them to change along the way? Oh, my love will change him. I will fix him. Well, when there's too many flaws, we need to walk away rather than hang on for dear life. Now, I recently had a session with a client, and there were issues that I picked up on, and I mentioned that I thought that her partner was an addict. And I asked, I said, does he drink? And I asked if he was an alcoholic, and she goes, well, he only drinks beer. So how often have you explained bad behavior away? just because he drinks beer, I mean, my neighbor next door is in a relationship with a guy who drinks 14 tall, she calls them tall boys a night, but he only drinks beer. So we have to really be watchful. There are many different ways that we explain bad behavior and red flags. We might say, well, he was abused in childhood, or he isn't over his ex, or any number of things. And all of these are lies that we tell ourselves. We're making excuses. And for what reason? Well, we want to be loved. This is going to be a very loud message in your ear. It isn't that we keep attracting the wrong guy. The issue is, we stay after we know who they really are. We hope he will change. We think falsely that our love will change him. He won't be like that with me. Well, let me just tell you something, a quick little story. With excitement in my heart, I stood in a bar in Toronto and pointed to a man across the room and said, his name was Bill Gates. That's the man, or that's somebody I could marry. I pointed to him, and I cannot tell you the number of times I have manifested things just by pointing. I want someone like that. Well, he made good money. I sat at a table with him on our first date. He was gorgeous, great personality. He told story after story about how great he was, how he was better than all his bosses, how he kept being passed over by people who weren't as smart as he was, who didn't have the savvy or intelligence he had. Guess what? This never changed in our entire 11-year marriage. He was better than everyone else. He was narcissistic. His bosses were all assholes. And I saw it on the first date, and I ignored it. 6 months later, we were married, and Adam was on his way very shortly thereafter. Well, my daughter was just broken up with for the second time with the same guy. He told her he wasn't ready for a relationship, and I told you that story. And that was when they first met. He told her he was damaged. All these things he was honest about, yet she stayed. When he broke up with her the second time, he was sleeping with her and someone else. My daughter ended up with 2 ovarian cysts because she kept reliving the old painful story. She couldn't move on because he told her he didn't love her. I listened to her sobbing every single day for months after he broke up with her. Months of her life, she was miserable. Guess who she's back with now? And you're asking, so what am I doing about it? Absolutely nothing. She's living her life. She's making her choices. She's learning from her mistakes, just like I did. Why do we stay? Well, I want to take a few minutes and have you write down, why did you stay? Okay, so what I'd like you to do is close your eyes. You can put your pens down. Put your hand in the middle of your heart chakra, in between your breasts. Count with your fingers as I ask these questions. So I'm going to ask the questions, and you got your hand on your heart. I just want you to be conscious and breathe. So did you stay because you asked or felt, what if there's no one else? Was that why you stayed? Or was it this one? What if there's no one else who's interested in me? Or maybe it was this one. What if no one else looks like him? You stayed because he was good looking? How about this one? What if the sex isn't as good with the next person? I know lots of people who stay in a relationship because the sex is good. How about this one? Did you ask yourself, what if I'm going to be alone forever? Or was it this one? What if no one ever loved me? So write down the number of these questions that resonated with you. Was it 6? Was it 1? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to do a clearing, and we're going to clear some of these. So I ask to connect with everyone's high self, ask to work with Radiant God on High. Ask to clear the 6 bodies comprising the soul, clear, remove, replace, elevate, and educate committee members to the highest level on chart 3. I ask to clear vortexes, portals, veil of illusion, dark worms, wormholes, toxic streams, Illuminati, dark angels, ET implants. I ask to clear discarnates in the aura, discarnates in possession, discarnates in past lives. Clear all separates, type 1, type 2 shadow energy and programming. Clear negative entities and addictive souls. Clear all dark energies, clear all entities, all attached energies, please clear. Clear all of chart 10A for everybody's high self, your guides to infinity and all committees. Clear all early death programs. We can talk about that later if you have questions. Clear accidents, illness, Alzheimer's, and dementia. Clear all webs, cords, hooks, psychic hooks. Clear vows, contracts, oaths, and agreements. Clear anything below chart 3, any static in everyone's auric field. Clear all charts 10A to 32 in depth on all levels and layers. Okay. Ask to clear all DNA, chromosomes, and trailers. Clear all ancestral karma. And somebody calls this karmage, combination of karma and garbage. Clear all issues. Clear the emotional body. Clear the personal soul package, root causes. Clear all inner archetypes in all 6 locations. Clear all multiple soul programs. Clear the fear of not being enough. I ask to clear unworthy. Clear blocks to faith. And here's the thing, the universe is working with us. We have to believe in love to have it. Clear the 12 aspects of spirit by genetic coding. Clear the dysfunction of creative emotions. Clear the loss of feeling God. Clear the loss of knowing God, the loss of seeing God, loss of hearing God. Clear the fear of life. Clear resistance. Clear the desire to suffer. Clear all attached energy from all past patterns, cords, webs, hooks, psychic hooks. Oh, clear the resistance to love. I ask to clear blocks to love. Let's see if there's anything I have to do in particular. Okay. Bettina, this is for you. Clear past lives, everybody will get it though. Please clear past lives at the I'm level, past lives in new one universe, reservations to expanding consciousness once universal God consciousness is attained. Please clear breaking the bonds of the 2600 pathways. Clear all of 22. Okay, losing our power to men. And that's up to us. I'm going to teach you something in the final episode. Clear blocks to love, clear the experienced trauma from the past life and imprint programs, clear fear, clear abandonment, clear toxic shame, please clear insanity. If you've ever been called insane or crazy by a partner, sometimes that leaves an imprint. Okay, is there anything else? Alpha to Omega, clearing zero time, clearing of all charts. And let's do a wrap up, mop up. Okay. All right. So I'm going to just teach you a little exercise, and we're almost done here. And I know this is a lot. But if you have a tendency to give your power away and your solar plexus is weak, and the way you can tell, we protect ourselves, so sometimes we put fat on our bellies as protection. So here's what I do. I usually do this outside, but we can do it. You face north first, and I just ask spirits of the north, I ask that any power or energy we've given away in ignorance, I ask for it to be returned to us now. Spirits of the south, I call upon you, and I ask that any energy or power we've given away in ignorance, I ask for this energy and power to be returned to us now. Spirits of the West, I ask that any power or energy we've given away in ignorance be returned to us now. Spirits of the East, I ask that any power or energy we've given away in ignorance be returned to us now. Okay, now just breathe. Close your eyes for a moment. You might feel a rush of energy. All right, so we're almost done. So beliefs are what govern our lives. And some of the beliefs that we have that are running our lives are actually limiting us. So changing the beliefs that are causing us pain is what we're about to focus on. We have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind, basically two minds. The conscious mind is the one that we think with. You know, we'll go to the stove, oh, that's hot. That's the conscious mind. The unconscious mind forms beliefs based on what we say and think to ourselves. So we are programming the unconscious mind by our thoughts and our words. So whatever we say, the unconscious mind believes. Now, if someone has told you over and over again something, maybe your mom, all men want one thing, or something like that, all men are assholes, or whatever it is like that, those phrases or opinions become beliefs. And oftentimes, we accept the beliefs of our parents, even though they may be debilitating. When our conscious mind thinks you want something, you know, you may consciously say, I want a relationship. I really want a committed relationship. But your subconscious mind thinks, no, that's too scary. It will hurt you. Men always leave. Men always cheat. Your subconscious mind will win. It will cause all kinds of sabotage, anything that will ruin the relationship. So you'll fail to get what you want. And instead, you'll attract what your subconscious feels is right for you. To attract what you prefer, your conscious and your subconscious minds have to be in agreement. So this is something that we're going to be working on over the next few weeks. So if you've been heartbroken in the past, you may not believe in love. You may actually feel that love hurts. When you don't believe in love, guess what? You can't have it. I want you to just breathe that in for a moment. If I don't believe in love, I can't have it. Okay, so how are we going to shift that? Well, you're going to be doing a mantra between now and the next session. This mantra is, I believe in love. You can say it right now. You can say it silently in the background of your mind, or you can say it out loud. We're going to be focusing next week on mindset. It's a powerful, powerful session, because mindset governs not just love, but also our wealth. And if you don't feel worthy, we're going to be clearing that too, then you won't be able to have wealth and money. So I believe in love is your mantra. You're going to be using this in the background of your mind. And I'm going to tell you, mantras are powerful. You say it as soon as your eyes are open in the morning. I believe in love. I believe in love. I believe in love. You can do it for 10 minutes. You say it when you're driving. You say it when you're showering. You say it when you're putting your makeup on, cooking your food, doing things when your mind is in neutral. That is the most powerful time to do a mantra. Sit in meditation. Do it. I believe in love. Okay, so take a breath. We're going to be doing the Cascade of Miracles prayer. I'm going to close the recording, and then I'll take questions. So turn your palms upward. Take a breath. Uncross your arms and legs. Mother, Father, God, I ask for a cascade of miracles to unfold in all areas of each person that hears my voice, in all areas of their life, from their romance, partnerships, business associates, friendships, family, wealth, abundance, health, safety. I ask for miracles to show up. People to show up, the perfect parking place, miracles on all levels. And I ask these miracles to continue to flow and unfold in all areas as long as they are grateful. So notice the miracles as they show up. And the more gratitude you express, the more open you are to receive them, the more miracles you'll experience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. I am going to close this recording. Thank you so much for being here. If you hang on, I'll answer some questions. Much love.